for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 29th, 2013. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, speaking on rest.
Carla is from Jasper, Texas, and Mike shares her. Her husband shares her and lets her. He comes up sometimes, too. But it's been a while since Mike's been up here. He's with you. That's right. He's covering you.
Tonight, the Lord has given a message on rest. Something that I find is lacking in our society. But I can give thanks to God tonight, for in that long and dreary night, He answered my cry and delivered me from 4 years, maybe even longer. I don't really know when it started, but depression. And without that touch from Him, that encounter with Him, I surely wouldn't be standing here today. I'm not even sure I would be alive, to tell you the truth. But He came and He delivered me from just deep sorrow and not even wanting to live. That's a terrible place to be. So I am thankful that He touched me and took that depression. He heard my cry and He answered. And I can tell you that if you're crying out to Him, He will answer you. He will answer. I know many in these days that are looking for a man of God or a woman of God that can help them, save them. No man can do that. We can direct you to Him, but He is the only one that can do that. I'm learning more and more. It almost is a scary thing for people to depend on you like that. And too many people want to be carried on the hip of someone who is in relation with the Lord, but you have to have that for yourself. And I just encourage you, if that's what you're longing for, don't give up. Because He's right there. He's as near as the breath in your mouth. Okay, well, that was all. Okay, so tonight I'm going to start in Genesis with some scriptures about rest. And I have started, I said this last time, I used to go to every scripture and wait till everybody found it. But for time's sake, I have printed out the scripture. If you want to jot down what the scripture is, but I'd prefer not to have you distracted by hunting for it so that you can hear everything that God wants you to hear. Okay, so in Genesis 2:1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." So even God rested. God rested. In that depression, part of what God showed me was that I was driven by many different things, expectations from other people. The worst ones were, though, of myself. I had an expectation of myself to perform as a woman, a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend. I mean, I had all these expectations, and I couldn't meet any of them. So all that's left is just huge failure, and then, you know, the enemy just beats you up and takes you to places you don't need to go. But in the healing of depression, God made it very clear to me that we need to rest. He said, Carla, you are the only one that lives in your body. Nobody else lives in your body. So if you're getting tired and you're waiting for someone on the outside to say, you need to go lay down and take a nap, it's not going to happen. Your body is His temple, and we have a responsibility to take care of this temple. If we destroy the temple, where can He walk among men? So rest is very important. Again, in Exodus 31:14, He said, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever, that's H-O-L-Y, holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, in the Old Testament, that was literal. One time they came upon this man that was gathering sticks, and he was stoned to death because he broke the law. Now, we don't live under that kind of law anymore, but God instructed us to rest. He knew we were going to need to rest. Now, the Sabbath in Strong's, it says it's a primitive root to repose, that is, desist from exertion. Desist means stop from exertion. It's an intermission, or to take a break from whatever you're doing. In the Webster, it says, the day which God appointed to be observed by the Jews as a day of rest from all secular labor or employments, and to be kept holy and consecrated to His service and worship. This was originally the seventh day of the week, the day on which God rested from the work of creation, and this day is still observed by the Jews and some Christians as the Sabbath. But the Christian church very early began and still continued to observe the first day of the week in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ on that day, by which the work of redemption was completed. Hence, it is often called the Lord's Day. The heathen nations, I found this really interesting, the heathen nations in the north of Europe dedicated this day to the sun. They worshipped the sun. And hence their Christian descendants continue to call the day Sunday. Isn't that interesting? Never even thought about where the word Sunday came from. But in the United States, Christians have to a great extent discarded the heathen name and adopted the Jewish name Sabbath. Although we call it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's just the day of the week. But that's why it was called Sunday. It is an intermission of pain or sorrow. Boy, wouldn't that be great if we could just take an intermission from that? Most of the time, that's kind of hard to do. A time of rest. The sabbatical year among the Israelites in Leviticus 25. What is the sabbatical year? It says, Leviticus 25:4, but the seventh year shall be a Sabbath rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest shall not reap, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth. So God wanted even the land to have a rest. They used to plant for so many years, but that seventh year, they didn't plant. Now our land is planted and planted and planted and replanted and planted. It's just stripped. It is overworked just like we are. The definition in the King James Dictionary is a rest, a cessation from work. And we were told that it should be holy Holy means a sacred place or thing. Sacred. Our rest should be sacred to us. It should be so important that it would be a sacred thing, a consecrated thing, a dedicated thing. Hallowed, as in most holy. A sanctuary. A sacred place, particularly among the Israelites, the most retired part of the temple at Jerusalem, called the Holy of Holies, in which was kept the Ark of the Covenant, and into which no person was permitted to enter except the high priest, and that only once a year to intercede for the people. The same name was given to the most sacred part of the tabernacle, the sanctuary. Now, it says that those who don't do this shall be put to death. Now, we don't, like I said, do that. We don't kill people who don't make the Sabbath holy or rest. We don't kill them. But is it killing us? Is it killing us to not do what God tells us to do? So many illnesses are rooted in lack of rest. If you don't get proper rest, it starts messing with the rest of your body, big time. I have learned how to rest. After God healed me, I tell you, if I feel stressed or I feel tired, I go take a nap. Or I may just take a day where I don't do anything. And there's nothing wrong with that. Death is a primitive root word that means to die, literally or figuratively. Causably, to kill. Causatively, to kill. Be dead, put to death, worthy of death, or destroyed. Cause to die, kill, slay, surely or very suddenly. Now, I did a teaching here on the spirit of death, and when I looked up the word die, it means a slow, gradual diminishing of. That's what the word die means. Slow, gradual diminishing. Doesn't mean you drop dead right then. So when we do not get proper rest, we actually are killing our own self. We slowly, gradually diminish. Another definition in Webster is that state of being in which there is a total and permanent cessation of all the vital functions when the organs have not only ceased to act, but have lost susceptibility or renewed action, like some animals that go into hibernation. They actually stop everything. And even the way God created them when they hibernate is their respiration slows down, their heartbeat slows down. It's amazing what can happen to an animal when they go into hibernation. And then when it's time, it all starts back up again. I just think that's amazing. The image of mortality represented by a skeleton as a death's head. Now that is something that I have seen of an explosion of in our society today. I mean, even on infants' clothing, they have these skulls and crossbones, and it is just horrible. These are things of the kingdom of darkness, and what people don't understand is that when you dress your child in something like that, it draws demonic forces. It's very dangerous. It just grieves me to see all of these little baby clothes and little girl clothes and little boy clothes covered with these skulls and crossbones. There is a way too much going on in movies, television, books, all forms of entertainment of death. Zombies, vampires, all of these things. And you know what? It occurred to me that a commercial came on. I think it's a car commercial. I turn it because it's disturbing to me to see all these zombie beings. And I told my husband, I said, you know what bothers me about this? Is that my little granddaughter, who's 8 and a half now, can't believe how old she's growing up so quickly. But for her to see these things on television that it's so commonplace that if one of them walked into her house, she wouldn't even know to be afraid or to, you know, be at caution. They're trying to make all of this evil stuff commonplace so that we just accept it. Yes, it's very disturbing. Okay, in Exodus 31:16, it says, "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." Glenn talked a lot about that perpetual, the word perpetual. That means it never ends. And that's how God wanted us to be in observing the rest. 31:17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." See, are you having a problem feeling refreshed? It could be that you have not rested. Rested, again, is a cessation of motion or action of any kind. And applicable to any body or being, as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion. Now that one I have a real problem with. I've gotten better about it, but back in the day when I was depressed and knew that I needed help, and at that time I didn't know that the Lord could really help me, I went to a psychiatrist. And I would just tell him. And one day he just said, "Carla, you think too much." And I said, "Well, tell me how to stop it. I would love to be able to stop this constant activity in my brain." But see, I didn't know that it was a spirit, a demon spirit. Okay? A body is at rest when it ceases to move. A mind is at rest when it ceases to be disturbed or agitated. That, for the most part, is lost in our society. It means quiet. When can you have any quiet? You know what? I love this long trip up here because I have 5.5 hours of quiet. I was looking for a new car with my cousin, and the guy was so excited to show us, "What's your favorite station?" I said, "I don't have one. I don't even listen to the radio." Well, that blew his excitement to show me his Bose sound system, you know. I don't want any noise. But you know what? You can't go in the grocery store. It just really is, everything is just constantly at you, at you, at you. Every aisle you go down, they have a little TV screen at the end. You know, it's just like, I just want to get earplugs when I go into the store. It's like we think that we have to, and that is a plot of the enemy, so that you have no quiet time to hear him. It is constant noise wherever you go. It means a state free from motion or disturbance, a state of reconciliation to God. That's where you're going to find your quiet repose. It means to sleep, as retire to rest. And this is the one I love the best. A place of quiet, permanent habitation. Do you know that is possible? It is possible to live in a place of quiet, permanent habitation in his presence. If you don't have rest in your souls, you don't have rest in your mind, and you can't rest. Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." In him. Have you entered in? Come into him. That is where you can have perfect peace. Even if you're busy, you can still be at rest. And you can be refreshed, perpetually refreshed, when you are in his presence. I love his presence. He told me a long time ago, even in the same healing, "I want you to live and move and have your being in my presence. You be about what I've called you to do. You don't have to do all this other stuff, what I called you to do, and leave the rest of the mess to me. And I'm telling you, that was a load off of me. I could take it just, I can do that. We all can do that. Live in His presence. Exodus 33:14, God said to Moses, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." His presence will go with us. We live in His presence. 1 Chronicles 16:27 says, "Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place." So not only can you have quiet, peace, rest, but you can find strength and gladness in that place. Psalm 140:13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." And at this time of Thanksgiving, we can all reflect on things that we are thankful for. That's what caused me to even think about, wow, you know, I never want to forget even that place that I was in that was so horrible, because I can be thankful for the place that He took me out of and the place that He brought me into. The word dwell means, it's a primitive root, and it means properly to sit down. Sit down. We can dwell in His presence. By implication, to dwell, to remain. Causatively, to settle, to abide, be an inhabitant, and continue in. It's a wonderful place. Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent and be converted. In other words, if you don't repent so that your sins are blotted out, no refreshing, no rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that beautiful? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Boy, I tell you what, I was laboring. And I was heavy laden. If you don't have rest in your souls, could you be wearing somebody else's yoke? It's called false responsibilities. And I see in this time, a lot of people are taking on false responsibilities, and they're laboring and are heavy laden. To labor means to feel fatigue, by implication, hard work, toil, trouble, and weariness. I loved the song. I thought, wow, love that. We're setting it up. The yoke means to join. A coupling, that is figuratively servitude. Also, literally, the beam of the balance as connecting the scales. Ever heard of the yoke of bondage? Many of us have worn the yoke of bondage, maybe still wearing the yoke of bondage. It's not a good yoke. We're still talking about the word rest. We could most likely say, as it says in Deuteronomy 12:9, "Ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you." That is part of His inheritance, His rest. To cease from labor, work, or performance. There's a good one. Performance. I was all up into performance. Boy, when I got saved, I could not wait to start working for the Lord. I said, you know, the first 10 years of my life, I went out and did what I thought I was supposed to do, and I dragged Jesus with me. There's a scripture, I didn't jot that down, but the scripture says, "When I was young, I girded myself and took myself where I wanted to go. But when I became old, another took me by the hand and took me where I did not want to go. And I see that as a spiritual maturity scripture. Because the first part of that, I girded myself and I went where I wanted to go and I dragged Jesus with me. But when I totally surrendered, when I begin to mature in the Lord, now He takes me by the hand and puts me in places I might not want to go. But out of obedience, I go and be where He puts me. Exodus 31:17 said, He rested and was refreshed. God rested and was refreshed. A primitive root, which means to breathe passively. See, when you're working hard, it's but passively is, it's not labored. It means to be breathed upon. It means refreshed, as if by a current of air. Be refreshed. Mark 2:27 says, And he said unto them, now we're in the New Testament, see. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. See, we've kind of gotten that mixed up too. The Sabbath was made for the man. God intended for us to have a day of rest. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. See, God knew us. He knew us. I think this is interesting. He says that we are to have a day of rest, just like He gave us the tithe. He knew where we were going to be weak. It was going to be in our labors and in our money. He knew that if He didn't set up some boundaries, we wouldn't have any. I'm just now really learning to set up some boundaries. I am learning to say no to some things that I thought that I had to say yes to because Christians are nice. See, the devil knows, hey, you're a Christian and you're supposed to be nice. You're supposed to do that and that and that and that and that and that and that until you're so worn out. I'm learning to put some boundaries. With all of our witty inventions, electricity, automobiles, computers, jet travel, cell phones, microwaves, etc., 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 we're able to cram 48 hours into 12. We're not only doing the laundry, but we're talking on the phone at the same time, and at the same time the dishwasher's going, and we're, you know, all these things are going on to the point that we are like that. What's that little animal? That hamster that runs on that wheel. Not going anywhere. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy all those things. But bit by bit, we have become a people driven by the things that were intended to supposedly make our lives easier. Instead of us owning and lording over those devices, we have become enslaved by them. The cell phone, the computer, it's just, I mean, used to opening the mail was time consuming. Now you got to open the mail and your emails and the Facebook and the Twitters and the text and all those things. It just can wear you out. I'm not on Facebook. I do have an email address. I don't even know what a Twitter is. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm being left behind, but so be it. The cell phone ringing all the time, or every time you get, that's another thing. See, another one of those little noises. It's just putting a demand on you like this. You have a little noise for your emails, and a little noise for your texts, and a little noise for your messages. And, I mean, everybody is just, you can't go anywhere that, it's a huge distraction to our lives. Our communication with one another is dying. Many years ago, it occurred to me that as God's people, this day and time, we're no different than the Israelites that were in bondage to Egypt. God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt in slavery. God sent Jesus to deliver us out of the kingdom of darkness. God led them to the promised land, but they never entered in. Why? We'll talk about that in a minute. We were brought to the cross of Calvary, where we received salvation, and then we set up buildings and started having church. We've never really fully entered into everything that He meant for us. We were supposed to pick up what He was doing and continue it till He comes back. They never entered in, just like we haven't entered in fully. And why is that? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 19 through 4, 6. It says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Remember, God gave them the land. And then they got there and decided to go looking in and see what it was like. And they got fearful. They did not believe what God told them. So they never got to enter into the promised land. Those that were under the age of 20 got to go in with Joshua and Caleb. All those that were 20 years and older died in the wilderness. That's a lot of people that died in the wilderness, never entering in to what God had given them, gave it to them. Hebrews 4:1, "Let us therefore fear." Now see, we're not supposed to fear, but here's a healthy fear. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." That's a real fear, not entering into His rest that He intended us to have. In 2 Corinthians 11:3 it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Jesus has a simplicity, but our lives have become so complex. But that is the world's way. We are supposed to have a life of simplicity with Christ, not being driven, not being enslaved, not being in bondage, not being yoked to the world. Hebrews 4:2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So we have, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you have the faith of God. You have His faith. That we should not enter into His rest because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest," as He said. "I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." So unbelief is a problem that can keep us from entering into God's rest. As I said a while ago, we got saved, we pitched our tents, we started having church and doing works. Doing works. And our traditions have made the Word of God of none effect. Exodus 20, verse 9, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy rest, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." He didn't leave anybody out. But then he added this one, so I think he was probably wanting to make sure the women got it. "And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see," which means be done in the cooking, "that ye will see, boil, bake, or roast. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning." He didn't even want the women cooking on the Sabbath day. Cook it the day before, eat it the next day. He made that clear with the manna. They could go out and get it every single day. But if they tried to get enough for 2 days, worms. But on that last day, before the Sabbath, that they could save and it wasn't wormy. Isn't that amazing? He made it very clear. And see, when we, God's word is supernatural. And when we obey His word, it opens the door for supernatural things to happen in your life.
Amen.
So we see that God was very specific, even very serious on the subject of rest. Wouldn't you say? So how does one obtain this rest? How do you get this rest? Well, as God spoke to me, live and move and have your being in His presence. You come into His presence daily. That's where you can have peace and rest. I have three sets of scriptures that I live my life by after God taught me all this. The first one is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When I give Bibles to people, I put these scriptures in. Because, you know, when you first come into the knowledge of God, there's so much. And you really, it's hard to know, where do you start? What do I do? Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. All the understanding that you may have, you still need to go to God. In all thy ways. Now some people say, well, I don't want to bother God with that little stuff. No. God told me that there is nothing too small for you to come to me with. If it concerns you, it concerns me. That's how much He cares for us. Because I was lonely. I had done that in my depression. I was so angry and hurt and unpleasant and mean that I had alienated everybody. Of course, that's the plot of the enemy. He wants to alienate you so he can kill you. That's his plan. Divide and conquer. And I was so lonely. And I was talking to him and saying, I have no friends. And he said, I want to be your friend. Just the way you are right now. That was a comfort. And he is my friend. And he wants to be your friend too. The second set is Matthew 6, 25 through 33. 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Oh, that would eliminate a lot of problems, wouldn't it? What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need, that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I picked up my son at the airport about 4 years ago, and he was going to medical school at the time, and he was burdened with a lot of things, but he's thinking about his future, and all the way home, it was like a 2.5-3 hour drive from the airport, and all the way home I heard all these anxieties and these fears and these worries and concerns. And I told him, I said, Wade, let me tell you something. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added. I said, you've got the whole thing backwards. It's like the hub of a wheel. This scripture is the hub of the wheel. And all these spokes are all the things that you're concerned about. But if you take care of the hub, the wheel is going to roll.
That's right.
And it's going to be a strong and sturdy wheel. So stop worrying about all of this. Take care of that one thing and let God take care of all those things. It's really simple. I tell you, I have learned to simplify. Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The third set is Philippians 4:6-8. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Your request. Now, I kind of like that. You know, you kind of worry about, oh, I don't know, am I praying in His will? Am I not praying in His will? He says, make your request. That's simple. So I make my request. And many times, it's granted. We fret even over how God is going to hear us and answer us. It says, when you do that, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we all want? Peace. In fact, when we don't have peace, we go looking to other things. We make idols out of whatever brings us peace. We run to this. Or whatever makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Might be a bowl of ice cream. Might be shopping, might be gambling, might be drinking, drugs, whatever, you know. It's trying to find that place of peace, but it's a false peace. This is where the true peace is. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I had something that rocked my world a couple of years ago. And God said to me, you are looking at this like it is a big old mountain. I was like, isn't it? It was to me. And He said, in the grand scheme of things, this is a blip on my radar. And I thought, wow, Lord, I like that. A blip. I mean, here was my mountain, and here was me in the pit. And my mountain went, and I went, whoop. And I mean, just like that, I was back where I needed to be. Even though the circumstances had not changed. But that's where God wants us to live. In Him, where all things are well. It is well with my soul. And in that same incident, you know, I would talk about the problem. And He said, stop rehearsing the hell. And I was like, that's interesting. No, see, think on these things. Keep your mind. This will bring you peace. So now when people want to talk about the hell, I'll say, not going there. Just not. So here's some interesting scriptures. Paul, of serving Christ in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that beautiful? There was a time in my life when all I could have known was true of this scripture is, I'm troubled, I'm distressed, I'm perplexed, I'm in despair, I'm persecuted, I'm cast down, I feel forsaken and destroyed. Acts 20:24, Paul says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Would you say Paul had entered into God's rest? You read about Paul, you hear a lot how he was shipwrecked and beaten and all these things. And yet, he reached this place where he could say, but none of these things move me. And you know what? That is the enemy's plan for you, is to keep you distracted so that you never enter into this place. Because all he has is threats and distractions. That's all he has. But we are so easily shaken by those things. I call them a boo. Used to, I'd say, that's a boo. Satan jumps up and goes, and we go, that's all he's got, really. So when we stop doing those things, he has to go away. If he cannot get his what he wants to happen. And so the Lord showed me step by step how we can do these things. And it's in Romans chapter 4, and I am going to read these. You know, Abraham is our example. He was called the friend of God because he believed. He believed. And when people say, how do you do that? I say, okay, open your Bible to Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, now he's talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Against hope. I'm telling you, in the most impossible situation, you can hang on to your hope. In a hopeless situation, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So being not weak in faith, he considered not. Now this is something that will just hack the enemy off if you just don't even consider it. I consider not. Because that's what he wants to do, is distract you and have you all up into the problem. Now, Abraham had been promised a son. Now, he didn't have faith like this right away. He had to walk out some things first. They made the mistake of Ishmael. They tried to do it themselves, and that was a disaster and still is for us today. But when God finally got his attention, he changed his name. Abraham said again, yeah, but what about this seed? What about, I don't have a son. I'm going to have to make my servant my heir. And he did this two or three times, and God finally got tired of it. He said, all right, I'm changing your name. I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means a father of a multitude or a father of many nations. And so he had to start calling himself that. See, we need to change our names. Maybe not really, but we need to see ourselves as God calls us and not as we see ourselves. And Abraham was made to do that by God changing his name. And everywhere he went, he had to say, I'm Abraham, which means the father of many nations. And he didn't even have a son. And I'm sure he was ridiculed and made fun of. But let me tell you, when God says do something, you do it. And there will be a supernatural result. It says, so, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. If God told a 100-year-old man today that he was going to have a son with his wife, who was also nearly 100 years old, she was 90, you know, that's pretty, impossible. So he had to consider not that he was about 100 years old, and he had to consider not what he saw with his eyes, the facts, true facts, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, what does that mean? I've thought on this. I think that because he staggered not at the promise through unbelief, he started giving God the glory for the fulfilled promise of Isaac. Lord, I thank you for that son I'm going to have. Thank you for that son I'm going to have. Thank you for that seed that's going to be like the sand on the seashore. He began to give God the glory for something that hadn't even happened yet. Do you have something in your life that you're believing God for? Thank him for it. Start giving him glory for that now. That's what he showed me a long time ago, all three of my children, and I was sitting here was the promise, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. I did that. And when they're old, is over here. Well, we're right here. And it's a disaster. It is a disaster. But God said, I want you to come up here. You come up here where I am. Don't set your affections on things of the earth. That's where my heart was, in my children, almost to an idol. And America is there with their children. So God had to break that so that I had my affections in the right place with him. And he showed me, I didn't see then, but he let me know, I see your children already finished. Just like he told Abraham, here, Isaac, and I see it's going to be his descendants are going to be like the sand on the shore. I'm sure that was hard for Abraham to imagine. And sometimes at that time it was hard for me to imagine my children serving the Lord, you know, like I desire for them to. But God said, I want you to live like it's already done. That's what living by faith is. You live like it's already done. That takes care of a lot of the fretting, a lot of the worrying, a lot of the unrest that we have. Believe the promises of God. So he hoped against hope in a hopeless situation. He considered not what he could see with his eyes. Because that's what God said to me. I was crying and heartbroken over all the things that were happening. And God said, you know, you can continue to live by sight and circumstances, and this is where you're going to find yourself. Or you can stand on my word. And I had to stop crying to think about it. That was kind of heavy to hear. But I've gotten there. I consider not. I just love them like they're already there. And I'm believing. And I know I'm going to see it. And I am going to see it. Like Patty said, sometimes we don't live to see it. And in the Hebrews chapter 11, I read that chapter where they died without having received the promise. They died in faith, not having received the promise. That didn't mean the promise didn't happen. They just didn't get to see it. And I said, Lord, I want it to be in my lifetime. I want to see this. And then I came to Lake Hamilton, and Dr. Null had prayed for me, and he walked off, and he spun around on his heel, and he said, I just heard, in your lifetime. Does that mean anything to you? All right. In my lifetime. Okay. So, staggering not at the promise, through unbelief, he started giving glory to God for what he had promised him. And in verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And now it says, and it was not written for his sake alone, but for us also, so that we can learn from Abraham. And that's how you can enter into his rest. In a hopeless situation, you hang on to your hope. You consider not what you see with your eyes. You give glory to God for what he has promised. And you be fully persuaded that what he's promised he can perform. We don't have to perform. He does the performing. Okay, so we are going to do some deliverance now of things that are keeping you from being in rest, in God's rest. So let's, y'all want to stand up and just kind of move about a little bit. I know y'all had a long day. I have too. Mine was on the road. I know what it's like. We'll be here at 6 in the morning. I get up at 4:30 so I can be wide awake. And it makes for a long day. So we're going to finish up about 9 o'clock and we can all go and rest. Okay, so let's just, let me lead you in a prayer of repentance first, and then we'll sit down and we'll do the deliverance part. Father, forgive me for all the times that I have walked in fear and not trusted you totally, and it has kept me from being in your rest. I want to be in your rest. And that's what I'm making my request tonight. That everything that has kept me from entering into your rest will be dealt with tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all can sit down. Father, I just cover everyone here with the blood of Jesus. And I bind any spirit that would hinder them receiving what you have for them tonight. Right now I bind every spirit of fear. All spirits of fear, you go in Jesus' name. Fear and doubt and unbelief, you go. I bind you and break your power and command you to come out now. Just take a deep breath and blow out. Come out. All fear, all doubt, unbelief, distrust, go in the name of Jesus. All distrust in God, go. Faithlessness, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. All faithlessness, go in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Dread, go. Dread, dreading the day, dreading tomorrow, dreading what needs to be done. Go in the name of Jesus. All dread. Terror, go in the name of Jesus. Terror. I bind megarmisabib, terror on all sides. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of uneasiness, you go in Jesus' name. Fearful thoughts come out of the minds right now in Jesus' name. All fearful thoughts. Being terrified, spirits of being terrified, go in Jesus' name. Slavish fear. Painful apprehension, go, come out in Jesus' name. All fearful expectations, even things that you're expecting to happen that may never happen, all fearful expectations, go in Jesus' name. Painful expectations, alarm, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of alarm, fright, go in Jesus' name. Fret, get out in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Violent agitation. All spirits of agitation. Anything that agitates you, I bind it now and command it to come out. All irritation, go in the name of Jesus. Just being irritated all the time, I break your power and command you to go. Vexation of the mind, vexation of the heart, go in Jesus' name. Unrealistic concern, go in the name of Jesus. Fear in the imagination, imagining fearful things, go in Jesus' name. Overexertion, in the name of Jesus, you go. All overexertion, just working and never giving yourself a break. You go in Jesus' name. All restlessness. Spirits of restlessness, go in Jesus' name. Not even being able to be still. I know people that just cannot even sit down. All restlessness, you go in the name of Jesus. Fatigue, go in Jesus' name. Fatigue of body, fatigue of mind, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fatigue, tiredness, go in the name of Jesus. A fearful heart, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Heartache, heart trouble, all infirmities of the heart, go in the name of Jesus. Nervousness, all nervousness, go. Just being nervous all the time. Nervous stomach, in the name of Jesus. All trembling, go in the name of Jesus. Drivenness, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I break the lie that you have to always be working or you're lazy. I break that lie in Jesus' name. All driving spirits, you go. I break your power. All driving spirits, just driving people constantly to be busy in the name of Jesus. All performance spirits, thinking that you have to perform all the time, performing for acceptance or for accolades. All performance spirits, I break your power now. All busyness. Busyness, go. Busyness in the mind. Busyness in the body, go in Jesus' name. Busybody spirits, minding other people's business. In Jesus' name, I bind all those busybody spirits in Jesus' name. False responsibilities, taking on other people's responsibilities, causing your burden to be greater than it has to be. Go in the name of Jesus. All false responsibility. I break the yoke of false responsibility. Lord, I ask that you would make it clear to them what their responsibilities are and not to do any more than that in Jesus' name. All harassing spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Harassing spirits, just constantly harassing, harassing so that you can't be still or rest. Tiresomeness, go in Jesus' name. Weariness, all weariness, I break your power and command you to go. Just take a deep breath and breathe it out. All spirits of the worry wart. Worry. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of distress, go. Distress, you go. Anguish, go in the name of Jesus. All torturing spirits, go. All torturing spirits, all spirits that say work, just pushing yourself to the very end, I bind you and break your power. Misery, I break your power. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Misery, I command you to get out of God's people. Misery of body, misery of mind. All sleeplessness, go in the name of Jesus. Inability to sleep, insomnia, tormented sleep, nightmares, busy-mindedness, in the name of Jesus, disturbed sleep, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. I break now all spirits that you inherited from your mom or dad. If you had a mom or a dad who was a workaholic and could never sit down and rest, I break those spirits now. I command them to go. I command every familiar spirit of a workaholic to get off of you now in Jesus' name. Even inherited spirits of the workaholic, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just loose upon your people the peace of God. I loose your peace upon the people. Lord, let them receive now the peace of God. Lord, just give them a fresh anointing of your peace, your rest. I just loose the rest of God upon your people. I loose a refreshing, like a wind blowing across them that is just so refreshing that it helps them to relax and to rest. Refreshing in the spirit, refreshing in the mind, refreshing in your soul, your emotions, in your body. I loose upon you tranquility. Like he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. See, there's a restoring of your soul when you take this rest that God wants you to have. Sweet sleep. I loose sweet sleep upon the people. I bind every tormenting spirit that would come to disturb their sleep tonight. Lord, I just stand your mighty angels around them shoulder to shoulder that no tormenting spirit can come near them in the name of Jesus. And I loose upon them the ability to relax. Just make an active decision of your will right now. Just let every muscle relax. I just bind all that tension and uptightness and stress in the body. And I just speak to every muscle, peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your rest. We thank you for making it clear to us that we need to rest. And Lord, I pray that as you instructed me, that they will also receive the privilege for themselves that when it's needed to just be still and rest and be refreshed in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.